listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome back inside of the draft seminar. My name is Matt Hicks at the FF underscore educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the gridiron scholar. John, we're kicking off another great week on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Another awesome week as we launch this network. So please go ahead and subscribe if you have not already and leave us a five-star review. We would really appreciate that. And you get to listen in on all of the other great shows here on the podcast network. Now, John, with that being said, we are going to wrap up our Senior Bowl preview episode here with the most dynamic and certainly the deepest position here at the Senior Bowl. We have a lot of wide receivers to talk about today, but before we actually jump into it, I just want to give a quick preview of what we're going to be doing next. So after we're done previewing the Senior Bowl, we are going to be spending the next couple months doing what has turned out, John, to be a fan favorite, a very popular series. We're doing our draft seminar player profile series where we break down players about 5-6 minutes at a time and give you everything you need to know for all of these players, all of the big players for fantasy football purposes. We're going to cover the top 48, maybe even a couple more this year, John. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited to talk wide receivers here tonight.
Oh, Matt, I can't wait. It is a really interesting and diverse class of wide receivers. Now, I don't think it's on the echelon of the running back class for talent, but there is a nice variety here. And depending on what your organization is looking for, you could probably find a contributor on your NFL team next year among this group of prospects.
Absolutely, John, in a super deep group of guys. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to jump right into it here today to talk about the Senior Bowl. Now, if you're not familiar with the Senior Bowl and the impact it can have, we like to start off each episode by just talking about some of the big players that have seen their stock rise over the course of the Senior Bowl the last couple of years. And at the wide receiver position, John, the guys that jump out to me are certainly Terry McLaurin, Chase Claypool in this last cycle, and Cooper Kupp even going back to 2017. Who jumps out for you?
It has been very interesting following the Super Bowl. Today's the championship games. Following the Senior Bowl over the last 8 years, Deebo Samuel, when you had read and saw the practice reps that he was in at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, he was incredibly impressive after his career at South Carolina. And Michael Gallup, I had liked him in college for the Rams at Colorado State, but he showed up at the Senior Bowl and proved that he belonged amongst these prospects. And then DJ Chark, he put on a performance for the ages in the Saturday game. I think he was the MVP of the game that day in 2018. He had like 140 yards or more receiving. So, yes, there is talent here, and we're going to look at all of it, and maybe your favorite team or fantasy team will have some of these players next year on it.
Now, John, we're going to go ahead and kick things off here with a guy that a lot of people, including I know the folks on the Senior Bowl staff, are really excited is going to be at Mobile. I want to give a quick preference here. Devonta Smith, the wide receiver at Alabama, will not be practicing and playing, but he will be in attendance and going through the rest of the protocols there down in Mobile. So, John, do you want to give a little bit of an intro to Devonta Smith, who will certainly, as we move on, get a deep dive in our player profile series?
Devonta Smith has been one of my favorite players all year. And Matt, I'm an historian by trade. I love the history of college football. And we are talking about Johnny Rogers, Nebraska, Tim Brown, Notre Dame, Desmond Howard, Michigan, and now Devonta Smith of Alabama. The only four players in the incredible history of college football to win the Heisman as a wide receiver. And two stats that are just so impressive. Devonta Smith caught 80% of his passes this year. That's incredible, Matt. 8 out of 10 balls thrown his way were caught. And look at the team aerial dominator with every coordinator in the nation, knowing that Devonta Smith was the most important and impressive player on Alabama, and they could not stop him. 40% share of the Alabama passing game. Just simply amazing. And we're going to look at him in so much more detail down the road.
Yeah, I can't wait. And John, I almost don't want to dig into him because he deserves a full segment, and I can't wait to give it to him. Such an electric player, somebody that I thought could have gone first round in last year's draft, late first round, and he's played his way into a early to mid first round conversation. So I'm really happy for him, and I'm glad he's taking advantage of the Senior Bowl to get down there and get in front of NFL teams. John, maybe a particular NFL team, maybe one that's coaching, maybe one that likes to watch the orange and teal. I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence. But let's go ahead and talk about John, and we're going to break down the film on the rest of these guys here. But we're going to start with Tylan Wallace, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. Now, I got to say, he is one of the players that I am the most excited about. So, John, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of an intro to the wideout from Oklahoma State?
Over the last decade, Oklahoma State has produced very nice crop of wide receivers, from Dez Bryant to James Washington, who I still believe can be a good NFL wide receiver. He has not hit his ceiling yet. But Tylan Wallace is just being overlooked by fantasy dynasty owners. I think NFL teams are going to really, really like this young man. Two-time first-team All-Big 12, and he's been a Biletnikoff Award finalist in 2020 and 2018. He was also an All-American in 2018. Matt, you look back at that year, 86 receptions, 1,491 yards, 12 touchdowns, averaging 17.3 yards per catch. And he was on a pace in 2019 that was very similar, but unfortunately he got hurt in practice, like on a Wednesday. So he only played in 9 games that year. But he bounced back last year. He's 6 foot, 190 pounds. Look at that catch percentage, 63%. And team aerial dominator this year, 35%. I think he might sneak into the second round of the NFL draft. Matt, what does the film say?
John, let's go ahead and flip it on here. And I got to remind everybody that our film breakdowns are provided by Brandon Lejeune at Devy Deep Dive on YouTube and Twitter. And as we go ahead and look at Tylan Wallace here, we're seeing a guy that wins before and after the catch, John. He's super physical. He creates separation quickly off the line of scrimmage and downfield. And he's a super physical guy. He knows how to use his hands in a refined way to create that space. He's got sticky hands, and you can see the way that he accelerates well downfield. I mean, this man is fast. Look
nice
at that handwork, John.
And hands. That's really nice.
Yeah, and he's not a huge body. He's 6'0", 185, but when you know how to use your body, you don't always have to be the biggest guy. And look at that catch radius. He extends really well for his size. Good ball tracking, good focus. You can see that Texas Tech defender gets a hand on it, and it does not deter Wallace. He's able to still come down and catch the ball.
Yeah, he's very good in the red zone also.
Yeah, breaking that nice slant there. Not the most refined route runner, but I think he does enough. Of course, Oklahoma State not necessarily asking the most. I love his comeback route. That's my favorite route for Wallace. He has really good footwork, and he sells a curl really well.
And unfortunately, Wallace has not benefited from as good of quarterback play as recent wide receivers for the Cowboys had.
I agree, John. Let's go ahead and talk about somebody who did benefit a ton from this season. A lot of momentum here coming off of a successful season with the Gators. That's Kadarius Toney, the explosive, versatile athlete out of the University of Florida.
It's amazing, Matt, how quickly he has catapulted up the rankings. Some people have him in the top 5. I've seen him projected as a first-half, first-round draft pick. I'm not as bullish as that. He's not in my top 5. He is in my top 10, and I do see the ceiling. Now, people who like early production, breakout performers, Kadarius Toney is not going to be one of their stars. He really didn't break out until his senior year. In his sophomore and junior years, he only had 35 receptions for less than 250 or 450 yards. But boy, did he explode this year, Matt. First team All-SEC, all-purpose, and second team wide receiver. Look at that. The Gators were loaded on offense, but he led the team. And this had Kyle Pitts at tight end. He led the team in catches, receiving yards, and all-purpose yards. Almost the exact same size as Tylan Wallace, 6'0", 190 pounds. What I love about him, when you watch the film, instant acceleration, quickly gains separation. And look at that catch percentage. 83% of his passes he snatched, and his team aerial dominator is 23. Like Kadarius Toney a lot, Matt, what's the film say?
Let's go ahead and look here, John, at the Kadarius Toney film. And what you're going to see first and foremost is an athlete. He's super fluid. He's very twitchy. Those are words that we like to hear when it comes to the fantasy football context. He can do a lot with the ball in his hands after the catch. Look at that contact balance. He's shaking there, those poor Tennessee Volunteer defenders. I got to credit Brandon for giving me the Volunteers film here. But look at the way he extends. Wow. He goes up for the ball. You mentioned he's not a big body guy, but that vertical athleticism does extend his catch radius, which is going to be important when translating to the next level. Look at, he gets up and goes after that ball there.
Absolutely. I mean, again, hands and body movement are in sync with each other.
And look at the way he's used. He's used in motion. He's used on reverses for Florida. And I got to tell you, he returns punts and kicks for the Gators as well. So when you can do it all, you're going to get on the board of more NFL teams.
Absolutely. He should be able to come onto your team immediately and contribute at least with 7 touches in different varieties. First game of the season as a rookie.
Absolutely. And that's going to be really important when it comes to draft stock. Look at the way, I mean, that straight line acceleration, he burns that Texas A&M defensive back. And again, you could watch the film breakdowns on YouTube, or you could just listen to the audio here if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We got a lot of options for you to watch Kadarius Toney and all of these good wide receivers. The next one of which, John, wins in a totally different way, but still one I think that's going to be really valued by the NFL, and that's Amari Rodgers out of Clemson, a little bit more experienced of a prospect coming out compared to a lot of his draft classmates, but I think the NFL is going to appreciate his skill set.
I'm a big fan of Amari Rodgers, and I believe the NFL will be also. Look at that compact body, 5'10", 210 pounds, and he is a star as a slot receiver. With that frame he has and those natural hands, and when you combine it with his balance and burst, he is really, he's awesome to watch out of the slot for the Clemson Tigers. And I think he can come into the NFL right away and contribute from that position on the field for an NFL team. Again, just like Toney, if you like early breakout stars, Amari Rodgers is not going to pop on your spreadsheet. But they have an incredible depth chart at Clemson. Sometimes you need to put these numbers into perspective. As a sophomore, 575 yards with 55 receptions back in 2018. Then he had 30 receptions with 426 yards in 2019. After coming back from a torn ACL, very impressive considering what happened to him in March of 2019. And finally, last year, Biletnikoff semifinalist, a Brandon Streeter Award, which is for Clemson student athlete, 77 receptions, 1,020 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I like Amari Rodgers a lot, Matt. What's the film say?
Well, let's go ahead.
Quick throw by Lawrence.
Let's go ahead and look here at what the film looks like for Amari Rodgers. And you can see that he is definitely a possession style receiver. He works really well in those underneath routes. And John, I think it's important when talking about Amari Rodgers, he really is a compliment in that Clemson offense. Remember, Trevor Lawrence had relied on those big body guys, right, to really throw it up. And when Justin Ross was out and when he had lost T. Higgins, he went back to Amari Rodgers as his consistent, reliable guy. So whether it's running a drag or a post, you know, Rodgers can get the job done. You can see there, man, the really consistent hands. He's going to create space. He's going to get hands consistently get those hands up and in the place where they need to be to catch the ball. So there's definitely a lot to like with Amari Rodgers there. And John, a guy who's going a little bit under the radar, we've talked about the Louisville offense to a degree, but Des Fitzpatrick, tell me what your thoughts are about the guy flying a little bit under the radar there for the Louisville Cardinals.
A player that I have watched for a while because his freshman year corresponded with Lamar Jackson's final season at Louisville. So I had Lamar Jackson on a lot of college fantasy teams and did a lot of scouting of Jackson that final year on campus. So I did watch a lot of Des Fitzpatrick that year, and that was before this season his best year. He had 45 receptions for 699 yards and 9 touchdowns back in 2017. And the first thing you notice when you watch Des Fitzpatrick, 6'2", 210 pounds. He's definitely a big boy on the field. He has strong hands and a big catch radius. Unfortunately, I just don't think he ever achieved his ceiling that I had expected for him. Hey, has had a very nice career, 154 career receptions, averaging 16.8 yards per reception, 21 touchdowns. And this year, Matt, his team aerial dominator was 31%. I like Des Fitzpatrick. I think he's a bargain later in the draft, maybe rounds 5 or 6 for a team that's looking for a big wideout.
Yeah, there's a little bit of intrigue here for me, John, as we go ahead and flip on the Des Fitzpatrick tape. There's not a lot of length in the class. There's not a lot of size in the class, and not a lot of guys necessarily in terms of defining features or boundary type wideouts. So I think he is going to catch the eye of NFL teams for those reasons. We could see here he runs a nice corner route. He's able to separate well downfield on that play. Anytime that
nice hands
stretches, yeah, nice hands. I mean, look at that acceleration. And for his size, that's really good acceleration. And Louisville doesn't necessarily stretch the field often, but when they did, he was really the guy that they were throwing the ball to in that second and third tier of the field.
Yeah, he can be frustrated. He disappears at times in games. I don't know if that's the game plan or the quarterback. And he has been up and down. He's not consistent enough. That bothers me.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, sometimes it's hard to take the products out of the system, right?
Yes.
But watching Des Fitzpatrick tape, at times he does things like this against Boston College where he gets a pass in the flat. And look at this. He breaks this defensive back, number 5 for the Golden Eagles, and he had the angle. The defensive back had the angle there, and Fitzpatrick is still able to outrun him. So there's these flashes of upside, and then he'll go away for a little while. So the Senior Bowl is the time for those types of guys to shine, is exactly the types of guys that can benefit from being down in Mobile. And, John, here's another guy that I'm going to be really interested to see what he looks like down in Mobile. A big-bodied guy, the wide receiver out of Florida, not getting quite as much hype as his teammate Kadarius Toney. It's Trayvon Grimes.
Interesting prospect. Remember, Van Jefferson ended up being a second-round pick last year by the Rams, and that was not expected by the scouting community. And Van Jefferson flashed at times this year as a rookie for Los Angeles. Trayvon Grimes played behind Kyle Pitts, Van Jefferson, and then obviously Kadarius Toney this year. But if you look at the totality of his resume, it's not going to blow you away career-wise. 100 receptions, 1,464 yards, 14 career touchdowns. But he is 6'4", 218 pounds. He's a long strider. Now, when you watch him, he looks a little slow, and I know that long striders can look slow on film. Matt, you and I have talked about this in the past, so I'm not really sure. I wish we had the combine. I think Grimes is one of the players, if we saw a true 40 time on him or an agility drill, it would really benefit, or maybe it hurts him a little bit. Right now on film, I see him win with size and physicality. I like him. I have about a 6th-round grade on him. Hey, if he goes down to Mobile and he flashes in the drills and he shows more athletic ability than I've seen on film, Grimes could shoot up draft boards, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we flip on the film here for Trayvon Grimes, I think what we're going to see is a lot of winning at the catch point, a lot of using his size and good body positioning, as you're saying, John, And for me, Grimes is good at a lot of things. I'm not sure he's great at anything. And so I think a day three grade is probably appropriate. But at times, I mean, look at that highlight reel catch there going up over the Georgia defensive back. And you see there's shades of athleticism here against Arkansas. He catches the ball in the flat. They did use him in the flat, and he had some athleticism at the time, which tells you that Dan Mullen certainly thinks he has that speed we're talking about. Goes up and gets it through double coverage there against Vanderbilt. Yeah. So you can see there's really two types of plays. Kyle Trask is either dumping it to him in the flat or he's tossing it up to him in the end zone. And there's a role for that in the NFL, but I do think he's got to go and he's got to have a good week in Mobile to really solidify that. I will say as well, I think he's a pretty solid blocker. And what we're not going to show you necessarily on this tape, because we're showing, you know, the highlights, the best of hands. He's got to be a little bit more sure-handed for all of those contested catch highlight clips. There's also drops too. And so I think he's gotta,
Matt, there's drops in there too.
So we have to be realistic and we have to say there's good and the bad. But, John, flipping back to a little bit higher note here, Marquez Stevenson, the wide receiver out of Houston, I think he is going to be a steal in this draft. I think he's going to end up being one of the day three darlings that comes out of this. I think he can contribute on an NFL offense as a wide receiver two or three, and I think he's going to contribute on special teams right away. And I know you're really honed in on the American Athletic Conference, so I hope you feel just as excited about Marquez Stevenson as I do.
I think I do, Matt, and it's funny. I've worked with you long enough now. I kind of felt this would be a player that you liked when you watched the film too. Because I said, I think Matt might like him. Now, the first concern, and we're going to have to look at the medicals, and it's going to be interesting this year without the combine. How are the medicals going to get done? Where are they going to get done? So this is going to be interesting because he missed 2017 after suffering a torn ACL in spring practice. But he did come back in 2018. He was amazing. 75 catches, 1,019 yards, and 14 touchdowns. And then the following year, 2019, 52 catches, 907 yards, and 9 touchdowns. But he did miss some games at the end, a little bit in and out. But they also didn't have as good of quarterback play at Houston without Derek King. So there are a lot of things I like on film. One thing, if you watch him as I have, man, can he explode. Look at some of these numbers. 2019, 3 catches over 70 yards. And in 2018, 6 plays over 50 yards. Matt, in the right offensive scheme where they design plays for Marquez Stevenson out of the slot or in motion, and they get him in one-on-one opportunities, Stevenson can take it to the house on any play. I do like him. He could be a day three steal. Matt, what's the film show us?
I think you did such a good job summarizing it, John, and we're going to see it on tape here. A really versatile type athlete. We're going to kick it off with an end around there against Tulane, and look at that speed. They are not able to close that space on them. By the way, I love those Tulane uniforms. I just had to throw those baby blues like with the green helmet. But look at the speed. I mean, you can just tell guys are fast. He's running sideways across the field just because he can. He looks like me in Madden when I'm at the end of the field and I'm just running sideways to taunt.
And look at that length separation.
Oh, the downfield acceleration is so key. And, John, that's such an underrated thing. We assume wide receivers can just do that at the next level, but – he's going to break off a slant here, take it to the house. I mean, you just can't teach this kind of speed. And you're right, the medicals, we're going to need to pay attention to that. But there is so much upside to Stevenson's game. He's short-handed. He's gone. Look at that. You already know it's over. He's got 60 more yards to run, and you already know he's taking this thing to the house against SMU. There is so much to like about what Stevenson brings to the game.
Yeah, he took the angle from the safety and just obliterated everyone.
And look at this contact balance. This Memphis DB tries to wrap him up, and he just shakes him off. So it's not all just speed. And I'm really glad we're showing this play here. We're showing the kickoff return because he will return kicks in the NFL. Whatever team takes him, they're going to want him to bring it to the house like he does against Tulsa here. He really just shakes two guys. And after he shakes those two guys, it's game over. And he knows it. He knows it 5 yards out that he is going to be sitting there all by himself. So there's a lot to like about Marquez Stevenson. And John, somebody who came on the radar a little bit maybe later, at least for myself, but I actually have him graded out slightly higher than his Clemson teammate who we talked about earlier, and that's Cornell Powell. Again, the wide receiver out of Clemson. Tell me what you have here on Powell, John.
Interesting. Now, I do not like him as much as Rodgers, but I understand what you're looking at when you watch the film. He was third team all ACC this year and incredibly impressive, but he was a very late breakout performer. He's a redshirt senior this year, and Matt, he really didn't get going until about the fifth game of the season. He was really tremendous like the last seven games of the year for the Tigers, but at 6 foot, 210 pounds, he has a great frame and he uses his body extremely well. He does have a lot of strength. He has a role in the NFL. But if you're looking for long-term production or early breakout age, he's not going to fall high on your model. I like him. He deserves to be drafted. I just question what his ceiling is. What do we got on film on him, Matt?
Let's go ahead, John. Let's flip on the tape and break it down here. Cornell Powell, the wide receiver out of Clemson, catches that nice comeback route there. He is able to work with the ball in his hands after the catch, but I think the sticky hands, John, is the best thing for me. It's a highly weighted trait, and I know that sounds simple, but you wouldn't believe how many people bump up wide receivers who can't catch. And on target, off target, Cornell Powell is going to be able to make the catch, even if he has to stretch a little bit here. Like on this play, goes up and gets it. That would be the semifinals game against Ohio State. And look at that. It's subtle. It's borderline too much handwork, but it's just enough. And that's the kind of stuff you can get away with that in the NFL. And knowing how to use your hands at the catch point physically, but subtly, is not a common trait.
No, you're absolutely right. He has a lot of veteran type moves with his hands and body.
Right. It's another one of those situations. If you're purely a numbers guy, like John said, you're going to get turned off from him, but you also have to, you know, keep in mind, what has he been doing? He hasn't just been sitting on the bench. He's been learning in one of the best offensive programs in the country that consistently produces some of the best wideouts in the country. So,
and the talent. I mean, it's so hard to get on the field at Clemson if you're not a five-star recruit.
Yeah, he's not sitting behind guys at, University of Alabama or something like that, or Birmingham. not University of Alabama, but Birmingham. But let's go ahead and, John, let's stay in the Carolinas, but we're going to move to the SEC here with wide receiver Shai Smith. Now, I got to be honest, John, Shai Smith was not somebody super high on my radar until I watched him play this season. And every time I watched the Gamecocks play, I was honed in on this wide receiver. I think he is a future PPR machine, or at least has the potential to be. What do you have here on Shai Smith, John?
I have grown to like Shai Smith a lot this year also, Matt. You know, he wasn't on my radar for college fantasy football. We weren't talking about him for Devier's dynasty last year. But as I watched the Gamecocks and were scouting the SEC this year, he definitely began to catch my eye. And you have to put it into context. He played for the Gamecocks and he played behind Deebo Samuel and Bryan Edwards, who are both now in the NFL. Also, anyone who watched the Gamecocks, maybe only Florida State has worse quarterback play than South Carolina. So, I mean, it's not been pretty watching the quarterbacks try to get the ball into Shai Smith's hands. 5'10", 190. And he is a speedster with excellent ball skills. He can catch the ball. He turns up field immediately, and he gains as many yards as he can. 174 career receptions for over 2,200 yards and 13 touchdowns. But what I like, despite poor quarterback play, 67% catch percentage and 34% team aerial dominator. I like Shai Smith now a lot also, Matt.
Let's go ahead and see what the hype is all about here, John. With Shai Smith, we see his ability. He's got good vertical ability. He goes up over this Auburn defender here and, quite frankly, he just goes up and snatches that ball.
Yeah,
it was a very underthrown ball. It was not well placed at all, and he doesn't let that bother him here. But I think on this next rep, you're going to see the speed coming through. One-handed catch, John. That's the sticky hands that I'm talking about. I mean, this was he had no business coming up. He extends one arm he really palms that thing. He looks like a basketball player palming the ball and tracks it well through the bobble there and catches it. You really like it. He goes up, creates that separation. Look at that extension there. Yeah. Look at that extension against Ole Miss. You have to like that. That really nice stop and go. That's good footwork. There's when it comes to tape evaluation, John, one thing I always say is you have to pay attention to the level of competition. Shai Smith might not look super fast on tape, but he's consistently doing it against SEC guys. I think he tests higher than he looks on tape.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it would have been fascinating to see his three-cone drill and a 20-yard shuttle at the combine, because I think he might have incredible agility and you know, short speed.
Absolutely. And you could see here he consistently breaks off a mean slant route as well as that stop and go we saw earlier, the curl route. Those might not be the most technically refined routes, but they translate pretty well to the NFL, and we've seen that route running in college, you don't necessarily have to be the most advanced to be successful. John, one of the guys that I've talked about as needing the biggest week in Mobile is a highly touted guy coming into college, wide receiver Nico Collins out of Michigan. Never quite lived up to the hype, but most folks attribute that to the quarterback play at Michigan, and he decides not to come back for his senior year, opts out to start training. So this is going to be a big week for the big man, 6'4", 222 pounds out of Michigan.
Matt, it's not just the system, the quarterback, it's Coach Harbaugh. He had Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins in 2019. And their passing game, I'm going to be kind as a Wolverines fan, was pathetic. I mean, we saw what Donovan Peoples-Jones did. He has good upside now with the Cleveland Browns. And Nico Collins is, in my opinion, a better prospect than Donovan Peoples-Jones. Look, he was the Wolverines offensive player in the year. And Matt, you alluded to it. If you're looking for a big X receiver and you are looking for that guy, let's say you're the Carolina Panthers, who have a real nice trio, but they don't have a lot of size. Nico Collins would look extraordinarily interesting in that Carolina Panthers offense as a third or fourth round pick. I agree with you. If he goes to Mobile and he kicks butt, and I think he can, because I like the tape from 2019, and it actually got me mad at how much Harbaugh wasted the talent he had at wide receiver. Because I'm convinced if Nico Collins and Donovan Peoples-Jones went to Alabama, we would be looking at completely different prospects. Matt, let's look at this film and see what he can do.
Absolutely, John. And I think we're going to see that size that we've been talking about. Look at that extension. Goes up over the Wisconsin defensive back. Really good handwork there to create separation at the catch point.
I love that handwork. It was sneaky. The ref was behind him. Couldn't see it.
Exactly. But look at the speed, too. Look at the acceleration against Rutgers. That's a dangerous combination.
Oh. Look at
He's sitting there right there on the route. And look, he's going to burn and he's going to break that defender. He's got a little shake to his game. Nobody would call him, you know, super elusive. But look at that shake. He's able to work with the ball in his hands after the catch.
Yes, and once he gets those long legs moving, he gobbles up yardage.
Look at that field stretching ability against Michigan.
Yep.
Maryland, I'm sorry, against Maryland. He goes up, gets the ball. He's got that field stretching upside. So we've just described, John, a guy with sticky hands, enough athleticism. He's a field stretcher. He's got good vertical ability. And by the way, he just absolutely leveled that poor Michigan State DB. Put his shoulder into him. So there's a lot to like here. There's a lot of upside with Nico Collins.
Yeah, and he got low to put his – he's 6'4", and he bent to get that. Ooh, look at that.
Goes up and gets it over the Michigan State defensive. He's working all the defensive backs against Michigan State, apparently. So you could really see. And look at that focus. Look at the way he turns around and finds that ball in midair. That's one of the things that really pops out to me when watching wide receivers, that tracking ability. A lot to like there with Nico Collins, the wide receiver out of Michigan. And, John, a very different prospect, but somebody who I am also very, very excited about. We're going from the cold north all the way down to the warm University of Alabama at Birmingham, and that's Austin Watkins Jr. Tell us about the Blazers wide receiver.
first thing you notice when you watch him on film, 6'3", 201 pounds. He's big and lengthy. Now, he's a JUCO recruit, and he's a redshirt senior. But remember, Brandon Ayuk had a similar kind of profile. I don't think he's as good as Ayuk. Don't get me wrong, everyone. But you can't just take JUCO recruits. For whatever reason, he ended up at a smaller school. But when he transferred and got his opportunity big time, Austin Watkins Jr. took advantage of it. 97 career receptions, 1,640 yards. And look at that, Matt. Averaged 16.9 yards per reception. What's the film say about Watkins?
John, I'm pretty bullish here on Watkins, and I think we're going to see on the film why. He's a great athlete. Look at that athleticism. Is able to shake it. He works well with the ball in his hands after the catch. I think he moves really well moving east to south or east to west, just as well as north to south. And he's got good contact balance. It takes the two Central Arkansas defenders to bring him down here. Look at this field stretching ability against South Alabama. He goes down the field, reacts well to an underthrown ball. He has to turn his whole body around to find that ball. My goodness, was that off target.
Yeah, good ball tracking, right? I mean,
Again, right here, he gets turned around. He's able to maintain his body control, stay in front of that ball. And look at the speed. Look at the way he breaks away. If that quarterback could put that ball on target, that's easily a 70-yard touchdown pass.
Oh,
he drifts him towards the sidelines, though. But look at the way he fights through contact. That's defensive pass interference, and he's acting like he's not even phased. You could see that body size coming into play there.
Ooh, that was a nice – he got the ball and turned around quick.
It's good spin move there, good reactions. And so, for me, Watkins is a guy who's going to win before and after the catch. By the way, if you're wondering – there is a relation. He is the cousin of Sammy Watkins, currently a Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver.
Is he not really? Sure.
Yes.
Is he actually?
Yes, they are. They are related, yes.
No. I mean, is Sammy Watkins actually a Kansas City Chiefs receiver? We never see him.
I think only by paycheck.
That's the paycheck.
Well, John, you mentioned Brandon Ayuk earlier, and as we're heading into the home stretch, we told you there's a lot of guys to break down here in this preview episode, and as we're heading into the home stretch here, we're going to go back to Arizona State, and we're going to talk about Frank Darby.
I like Frank Darby a ton over the summer, drafted him on a lot of college fantasy football teams because he was projected to play the X role with the Sun Devils, and if you look, the two players previously at that position for Arizona State, N'Keal Harry and Brandon Ayuk were first-round draft picks. Obviously, Ayuk has shown much quicker. Harry hasn't exactly hit what I expected yet. But Frank Darby fits the profile, 6'1", 200 pounds, with good agility, body control, and quickness. Unfortunately, we just did not get to see enough of him this year. I think he only played in two, maybe three games for the Sun Devils. So I broke down his 2019 season with Ayuk. He had a 52% catch percentage with the freshman J.D. Daniels throwing the football. He only had a 19% team aerial dominator, but he did have a first-round pick on that team with him. What's the film say about Darby, Matt?
Yeah, when we're going to go ahead and flip on the tape here, John, we're going to see an explosive athlete first and foremost.
Woo!
Look at that speed. Look at the way he separates downfield, and then he's absolutely gone. He wins with the first step a lot, and then it's just game over. And when you can have somebody who shuts it down that easily, it's really impressive.
Absolutely. He's definitely been coached up. I mean, Arizona State, I would like to know who their wide receiver coach is because they definitely have a model and they're coaching that model.
Absolutely. And, you know, very pro model there with Herm Edwards as the head coach. And the former Bengals coach, right, is over there.
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis, there you go. And look at that. I mean, just look at that pure raw speed. They seem to know how to find these fast, athletic guys here, right, over the last couple of years. And so while you're certainly not drawing a one-to-one, you see that Brandon Ayuk and the way he fits in the system. And even here, John, he looks like a little bit of N'Keal Harry, right? The yards after catch potential here as he carries the ball and shakes these Oregon defenders downfield. Really consistent hands. So there's a lot to like here about Frank Darby. And although there's not much tape on Frank Darby, what there is really nice.
Yeah, Matt, remember how I've said with running backs, I like second level vision? Frank Darby has that. Brandon Ayuk had that at times. N'Keal Harry, we haven't seen it in the NFL, but they have that second level vision when they're downfield and they can find angles. They're going to beat the angles and gain more chunks of yards.
Absolutely. And John,
woo-hoo!
Moving on here to a Mac darling. We love our Mac players here, and I am all on board the Dwayne Eskridge train, the wide receiver to Western Michigan. I've heard the NFL really likes him. I've heard he's got a shot at day two, and that's only going to increase with a strong performance down in Mobile.
Hey, Matt, I have a ticket with you. Look at that team aerial dominator, 44%. And friends, the Broncos, they don't have any NFL quarterbacks throwing the football there. So he's dominating the passing game for Western Michigan. Catch percentage, 63%. 5'9", 190 pounds. When I say he's electric, I can't wait till we watch this film, Matt, because you can see his track and field background and his sprinter speed. What I like about him, and he's going to be very important to watch in drills. How does he do against man coverage and press coverage against higher level competition? Because in the MAC level, he destroyed those players. Let's see what he does on the film here, Matt.
I think destroys defenders is a really good way of saying it, John. Right off the bat here, you see him break off a slant here, and he's going to go ahead and take this thing all the way downfield. So he moves across the field really well and is able to flip his hips, turn upfield very seamlessly, a very fluid athlete. I have a weak spot, John, you know, for a wide receiver that can break off a slant. And when he takes it to the house, you see a little A.J. Brown. You see a little Odell Beckham Jr. in the way they break off slants. But look at him go up and get that ball.
That's a nice catch.
Defender.
That's an NFL-level catch.
In the ability to go up, make that catch, and then not just go out of bounds. No, he fights for the extra 4 or 5 yards. He never gives up on a play. He's a very physical, tenacious type guy. Oh, look at that.
Yes.
Look at the way he flips his hips, turns around, gets to that ball. My goodness.
He looks like a Pittsburgh Steeler, New England Patriot. Like he has like Julian Edelman skills, Wes Welker skills, Deontay Johnson. I mean, he looks like their type of player.
But he's explosive on top of that, too. I see a lot of Will Fuller-type explosive ability. So he is a rare combination of skill sets, and I think that's going to bode really well for the NFL.
Yeah, I think a team's going to fall in love with him. I would not be surprised if he's a day two pick, but definitely an early day three if he slips, somehow gets outside the top 60, you know, what would it be, 96? So he could, but then he would be quickly off the board on day three.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's definitely going to be a guy for folks who aren't locked in, aren't listening to us and honed in on the draft coverage. I think he's going to surprise some people when he goes with his draft position there during the NFL draft weekend. Now, John, we have four more guys here. We're going to talk about them in two sets. And we're going to start with Ben Skoronek and Josh Palmer. Skoronek out of Notre Dame. And Palmer out of the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, unfortunately, these two young men, I think they're kind of like round 7 grades, maybe a primary undrafted free agent. They have size at 6'2", 210 pounds for Palmer, 6'3", 224 pounds for Skoronek. I see glimpses of NFL ability in both of these two young men. I just don't know if I was a general manager, if I'm going to target them. I would love to bring them into my camp, get them onto the field, see what I have in them. Maybe I can coach them up because there is raw ability here. But I don't think I'm going to spend a draft pick in the top 5 on them unless I just absolutely need size. Because you had mentioned it earlier, there is a dearth of big play, big size receivers in this.
And let's start here with watching Skoronek and the way he wins. Now, there's going to be something, John, about a Notre Dame big man wide receiver that just gets people excited because there's a role for that in the offense being run there. But he has consistent hands. He's not all size. And I will say there's a reason, despite his size, that he's playing wide receiver and not tight end because I think he does have good movement ability and he has good the ability to win after the catch. And you can kind of see that here on this comeback route that he gets an extra 5 yards out of.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, there's Equanimeous St. Brown, and then we have Chase Claypool, right? He's on that spectrum. I hope he's more towards Chase Claypool for his own career. But, you know, we'll see.
And look at that vertical ability, not only going up and getting the ball, but going forward there, keeps his balance. He's got good body control for a big man. I think most guys his size would just fall down when they go up and get the ball like that. And look at this closing speed. You know, he's not somebody who's going to run really well east to west, but moving in a straight line, he could definitely get up and go. And let's transition here into a much brighter color to watch. We're going to watch the Tennessee Orange here. And Josh Palmer, he waited his turn at Tennessee, and he was really the one bright spot here. You could see an off-target pass from Garantano. He's able to go and get. So he's got good good catch extension, good catch radius there, and he's able to do a little bit after the catch too. If there's a characteristic of the Tennessee wide receivers over the last couple of years, you know, that physical, tenacious type guy, he definitely picked that up from watching some of the other wide receivers in the room the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was laughing because unfortunately the Tennessee program has had some challenges recently.
That's a nice way of putting it.
When you say the lone bright spot, I think you're right about that.
And this extension, the separation downfield, that's against Alabama defensive backs, all right? That's the best in the business there at the college level. And he's able to go ahead and create separation, goes up.
Yeah,
he gets it there. Again, another off-target pass, but he's able to just throw his hands out there and snag it away from the defender. Probably should have been an interception, and he saves it there on that last play against Georgia. And, John, we got two more guys.
Two more.
But they are one gets me more excited than the other, I got to say. Racy McMath out of LSU doesn't do that much for me, but I got to tell you, I am interested in Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State. He's one of my sleeper guys. I liked his tape review a lot.
Matt, great minds think a lot alike. Because I like Cade Johnson also. If I was an NFL general manager, I think I'd rather draft Cade Johnson in the sixth round than Racy McMath. Now, got to understand, Racy McMath went to LSU. And we know the level of talent they have at the wide receiver position. He's had some opportunities, but when I do look at the opportunities, I don't think he made the most of them. Hey, he has NFL size, 6'3", 224. He does have breakaway speed, and he can contribute right away on special teams. However, this Cade Johnson, 5'10", 180 playmaker, and he is dynamite. Played for South Dakota State. Don't confuse it. This is not North Dakota State. This is South Dakota State at the FCS level.
The Jacks?
Yes. And 139 career receptions, 2,544 yards, 18.4 yards per reception, 25 touchdowns. I love the film on him. He is excellent to watch back-to-back 1,200-yard crusades. And remember, he doesn't have tape from this year because the FCS is playing in the spring. That's why we don't have much on Trey Lance, who only played one game. But I do have interest in Cade Johnson. Draft capital is going to mean everything. What does the NFL think of Cade Johnson?
Well, let's go ahead and let's see the limited film we do have back from 2019. We talk about that dynamicism, that athletic ability here. The first play, it's going to be an end around. They're going to kind of toss it off to him, and he breaks it off for a touchdown. This next play, he's going to go up back of the end zone. Nice. Oh, my goodness, dude. I can watch that.
The guy draped on him.
Look at that. He just sticks his hand out there and snags it. Amazing catch right there. Goes up and gets it there on that post route. So he's really doing everything. He's a well-rounded guy, despite being a little undersized, like you said, despite playing at the FCS. And that's raw speed. I don't care who he's playing against. He is really moving around that field, and he's moving really well.
Absolutely. There's no question he's an athlete. Can you know, this is another young man who I think the Senior Bowl is going to help him a lot. Mm-hmm. And if he could have been at the Combine so we could see the raw athletic ability, but maybe we'll get some pro day numbers to put a little bit, see if he can play with the big boys.
Absolutely. He's going to be one of the big guys. Look at this speed. Look at this. He's gone. He's returning kicks here against New Hampshire. He's absolutely gone. They don't have a chance. They just don't have a chance picking up to him. All right, John, we have talked about every wide receiver that will be at the Senior Bowl. It's a very long list. I've run a couple races in my lifetime, John, and I feel like I just ran another going through this entire list with you.
Hey, man, at my age, running this race is very hard, so I'm happy to be done.
All right, well, make sure you go ahead and subscribe to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you're getting your podcast. Leave a 5-star review. Subscribe on YouTube. Leave us that like. We'd really appreciate it, and we look forward to bringing you shortly the NFL Draft Seminar, NFL Draft Player Profiles Series.